Hello, welcome to the Last Show Podcast. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for listening to the show. These headphones are terrible. You know what? It's not even the headphones at this point. It's the microphone is terrible. You would think, oh, whoa, had to plug it in. I mean, did you see that? I should be an electrician, dog. If all I got to do is plug stuff in over there on the pole, yeah, man, look, I could be the baddest electrician of all time. It's the Last Show Podcast. My name is Courtney Shane Williams. I'm the host of the podcast. I am a stand-up comedian based out of Tampa, Florida. This is how it gets down. Subscribe to the show. Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google, TuneIn Radio. Rate, review the show, Apple Podcasts. I think now you got to follow the show on Apple or follow the show on Spotify and subscribe on something else. Just get the show. Share the show. Let other people listen to the show. This is a sports, pop culture, music podcast. And I say that at the beginning of the show because I'm a stand-up comedian, obviously. And people sometimes, hey, I want to come here for comedy. And I try to throw chuckles into what I'm doing. Don't get me wrong. I'm here for the sole purpose of making you laugh. I'm not here to, you know, feel depressed. And it is not the view. I mean, I don't want white women in America clutching their pearls. You know, it is 4:50 p.m. East Coast time, man. So this is the deal. But I always say that disclaimer up top because we actually are talking about something today. So for you guys that don't know, I don't know why I pulled up a stream of the show. Well, I pulled up a stream of the show so I can watch the show as I do it. So you guys that don't know, I do live in Tampa, and I am a fan of sports. So I got some information this day from a trusted source. And by trusted source, I mean David Sampson, who used to be president of the Marlins. And, yo, this is the deal. So Tampa's been going through this whole baseball stadium thing. Are the Rays going to stay? Are they not going to stay? And everybody that doesn't live in Florida is like, oh, man, Tampa. Why would they want to leave Tampa? They don't play in Tampa. You got to understand, dog. They play like three area codes away, okay? Like, they literally, 45 minutes away from Tampa is where the Rays play, on the other side of the bridge in St. Petersburg. Great city, fine city. Actually, the places I was actually thinking about living when we moved to Florida was going to be downtown St. Pete or downtown Tampa. Downtown Tampa just happened to win out, and that's just the way it went, right? But so St. Pete, great. No shade against anything like that. But the stadium is a dump, like a lot of stadiums, and especially stadiums in Florida. Florida has a stranglehold on dumps. Because the truth of the matter is, Florida is not a professional sports city. It's just not. Oh, the Bucks won the Super Bowl. That's great. Let me tell you something weird about the Bucks winning the Super Bowl. The Lightning are in the playoffs right now, and I feel more of a buzz for the Lightning. You know what I mean? I feel feeling a buzz. How old am I? You know what I mean? Who feels the buzz? I'm feeling the buzz of the city right now, dude. And the city is buzzing for the Lightning, man. So, but I'm feeling more of a buzz. See, Florida is not a professional sports city. For professional sports don't work in Florida. Especially now, you know, when there's other things to compete with, things of that nature. It's just not. Now, college, huge. University of Florida, Florida State, huge. University of Miami, huge. Like, they can draw an audience for that. But, dude, Miami Dolphins have had struggled getting fans. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers have struggled getting fans. Struggle blacking out games locally, dude. They've struggled to get fans, and the baseball teams get no fans. The Marlins never got fans until they got to the World Series the one year. Never got fans. They built a brand new, beautiful stadium in Miami, by the way. Never got any fans. The Tampa Bay Rays don't get fans, and for some weird reason, it's always this idea of like, if we could get a stadium in Tampa, people will come to the stadium. Now, I will say more people probably would come, but that ain't going to save your team because Florida don't care, dog. They don't care. It just is what it is, dog. At some point, you got to grip the point. Like, Florida does not actually care about professional sports teams. Just it doesn't matter. The hockey thing is weird, though. I will say, like, the Tampa Bay Lightning, that's been a deal since the day I got here, like, 10 years old. I'm 36 now. That has been a deal. I remember seeing, that was the first time I saw a bumper sticker for hockey. Like, I didn't even, hockey? What is it, hockey? Y'all playing hockey? Like, hockey was just something, I'd never seen hockey skates. I'd never seen people on hockey. Growing up, now granted, I grew up in the suburbs. Yo, people in the neighborhood used to be playing hockey in the street. I was like, yo, y'all play hockey? You know what I mean? I was out there playing some hockey, man. No skates, just with my shoes on. You know what I mean? I didn't go full hockey on them. You can go half hockey and still get your life back, right? You go full hockey, next thing you know, you start missing teeth like Yager. You know what I mean? I wanted to be able to chew. So, hockey's always been a fascinating thing, and I will say it professionally, and maybe because they don't have a college, I don't know. But it's not a professional sports team. So I said all that to say, to give you a little bit of background, that I'm not just throwing this out here, okay? I have, I'm the authority on teams leaving your city, by the way. I'm a Cleveland sports fan. The Browns left Cleveland. Now they're back now, but they left Cleveland. When I moved to Seattle, Washington, and I first started going, the Sonics announced they were leaving. The weird thing is the Sonics announced they were leaving and just kept playing games in Seattle. And people start showing up to the games with signs, because a sign will make them stay. And they used to call up Sean Kemp. Gary Payton took a trip down like that was going to do anything. No, and they stripped that team out of their cold, dead hands. So I am the authority, and I smell somebody pack it up, dog. They're out of here, man. And yo, I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but it's needed. So what have you? They out of here. The guy, in the way baseball works, this is some minutia, right? But basically, you got to be the majority owner to move a team. Basically, just come in with that premise. You got to be the majority owner to move a team. And to get to that majority, the number, let's say it's 75%. If you own 75% of the team, you can basically strong arm everybody else in the moving the team if all these other factors happen. Can't get a stadium built, blah, 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 blah. Just go with me, okay? So, the Miami Marlins were a team that got there because the ownership in Montreal sold that team and moved that team, dissolved that team, and that team ended up going to Washington, which is now the Washington Nationals. However, they wanted a new team, and Miami Marlins became that new team. People in Montreal were pissed off because they couldn't get a stadium built in Montreal, and they told Montreal, if you don't build a stadium, we're going to move the team. They didn't build, and decided to move the team. Well, you can't move the team because you're only a minority owner. Oh, no. We own 75%. How do you own 75%? I thought you was a minority owner. Oh, it's because this little rule in baseball. If you start doing cash calls, like let's say hypothetically it needs a new roof, or let's say hypothetically you got to replace stairs or whatever you got to do. If you go to the owners and say, yo, we need $2 million. And they say, hey, we ain't got $2 million. Then you say, okay, fine, I'll put it up. We got three owners, it's $2 million apiece, that's $6 million. I'll just put up the $6 million. But what happens is, if I'm putting up money and you're not putting up the money, I'm able to dilute your shares of the team. A lot of minutiae here, but I'm just trying to let you know how they're about to rob you blind. So you could come in at 30%, but every time there's some kind of cash call or some expense or some tax or whatever it is, that person that covers the cost is able to dilute the other shares of the other owners. If you can make enough of those calls or enough of those things come up where you actually don't care about the team, they can take more and more and more and more and more of the team. And once they hit that 75% threshold, now they have to answer to nobody. So if they decide to make some change or move some change, it's like, yo, no. I'm the main owner. I do what I want to do. Insert Miami Marlins. The reason Montreal couldn't stop them from taking the team is because that ownership group owns 75%. And that ownership group in Montreal was pissed off at the Miami guys, David Sampson, allegedly, maybe, I think, pissed off at them, but they just finessed them. That's the way it worked. So you get the Miami Marlins. Fast forward, Tampa Bay Rays. Tampa Bay Rays now are in the same situation as Montreal was in when that team ended up relocating to Washington. The same situation, okay? As a matter of fact, one of the owners, influence guys behind the scene with the Tampa Bay Rays is from, wait for it, Montreal. Huh. Wasn't there a story earlier in this year when it was like, hey, maybe they'll split the games between Montreal and Tampa? Montreal? That's a weird city to come up with. Why would you Montreal and Tampa? Well, Montreal is one of okay. Interesting. What if I told you the guy behind the scenes that has something to do with the Rays was one of the guys that got finessed in the deal by David Sampson when they moved the team to Washington? And what if I told you that he didn't know that you needed 75% of the team, and once you had 75% of the team, you became the controlling owner, and you could then move that team? In this scenario, you could move that team, allegedly, maybe, I don't know. And what if I told you that guy from Montreal that got finessed the other owners in Tampa into the point that he now has 75% of the team in Tampa, so he can move the team to Montreal, this place he wanted to have a baseball team in the first place? This is how I know your team is gone. You have an owner that is from Montreal, lives in Montreal, all about Montreal, that wants a team in Montreal, and he owns 75% of the team, which can't get a stadium built in St. Pete. That ain't happening. And they can keep floating this idea of Tampa, but the truth of the matter is, they're not putting in the legwork to actually get a stadium built. You got to be kissing babies. You got to be meeting with mayors. You got to be going to, you got to be doing stuff. They don't seem like they're trying to get a stadium built. Kind of reminds you of David Sampson and Loria when they were in Montreal. Didn't really seem like they wanted to stay in Montreal. Seemed like they had other plans. That team ends up turning into Washington Nationals. And here you are, the dude from Montreal that got finessed by David Sampson. David Sampson, who then finessed the city of Miami into billions of dollars. And that dude finessed Derek Jeter. This dude has learned at the knee of one of the greatest sports finessers of all time. And that dude owns 75% of your baseball team in Tampa, and he has no intentions on the team staying here. Your team is gone. Deuces. It's the Last Show podcast. Thank you for tuning into the Last Show. It's called the Last Show because this may be it. Hello, thank you for staying with the Last Show podcast. Gil Scott Heron, Inner City Blues. Significance of this song is they announced the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame inductions, man. Gil Scott Heron got up in there. I want to talk about that a little bit. There's a lot of little weird things that I want to talk about in reference to that. Jay-Z got in, Carol King got in, Tina Turner got in, Foo Fighters got in. My rant I did on the Foo Fighters not supposed to be in the Hall of Fame kind of backfired. Apparently, a lot of people like him. Hey, they said Foo Fighters got in. They said it was a no-brainer. It's like a no-brainer. I did 45 minutes on the podcast on how I didn't think Dave Grohl was all that. But Foo Fighters got in. So, Gil Scott Heron got in, though, as an early influence award. Gil Scott Heron. And, you know, somebody's doing it. I actually got to do a podcast. Somebody wants to talk about, like, comedy and something. And you know what? Lately, I've been doing a lot more of these podcasts and whatever you want to call it. It's just a lot more talking about comedy and the minutiae of comedy. It's like, I don't know if I'm getting old or what, but, like, I completely... And that's the reason I don't talk a lot of comedy on this podcast, because I don't really find it that interesting. But, man, is people asking me to talk about it. And when I start talking about it, I'm like, wow, I have a lot of experience. When did you get old, man? So I'm going to talk about this podcast thing. And this guy's asking me about all these questions and things like that. And one of the questions he said is like, what's success? And it's something I'd never really thought about. Like at the beginning, it's like, yeah, I guess you want to make money, I guess. But I never was like, oh, I got to get this. Once I got to the point that I'm doing stand-up. And I think, like, I got to get this money when I'm, like, 18, 19 years old. Then I realized, like, getting the money costs something. And it costs something that I might not want to pay. So then I'm like, whatever with this money. So then it's like, what is success? By the time I get to comedy, it's like, success, I don't even know. I mean, you know, having the ability to send my daughter to whatever school I wanted to go to, maybe free college, you know, house paid off. You know what I mean? That's about it, man. And I just want to kick back with my little girl and watch my little girl blow bubbles, man. But the Gil Scott-Heron thing, when I'm looking at the Hall of Fame inductions, and he got in as I just want to get the terminology right, in an influencer, early influence award. And it's like, yo, that's it, man. Success is being recognized for your work as an artist. You know, as much as I'm like, yeah, I do it for me, and I, you know, I'm confident in what I do, like, being acknowledged for your work as an artist, your body of work especially, album to album, cool, but for somebody to take a step back and be like, yo, that dude's a Hall of Famer, man, he's just one of the greatest to ever do it, the dude is just sick with it, the money is great, don't get me wrong, like, making a lot of money, that'd be fantastic, man, but the truth of the matter is, the money's, I'm gonna spend all the money, right? Or, you know, taxes, they're going to take all the money. Or, my family and my kids, they're going to spend all the money. Like, the money's going to be gone. But, like, one day, if they look back, like, yo, what? Courtney Williams High School? Who was that dude? You know what I mean? The idea that, like, some level of recognition is, like, pretty dope. So, Rock and Roll Hall of Fame inductions, being recognized for your work is great. And the Billboard Awards too. I didn't watch the Billboard Awards. You guys know I love award shows, but I didn't watch. But Drake, he's Artist of the Decade now, which I'm not a Drake guy. Not to say I don't like Drake, because I don't know Drake. You know, it's just the music. It's just not music I listen to. It's like if somebody's, oh, Carrie Underwood. It's like I don't know Carrie Underwood, but I don't listen to the music. I'm sure it's great. Yeah, she seems to sell a lot of records. Not big Beyonce. I'm not a huge Beyonce fan. Honest, I've never played a Beyonce album front to back. It's not Taylor Swift. And these are all successful people, by the way. I mean, so the idea that I don't listen has no effect on their career. Because enough people think they're dope that they're dope, right? But Drake, Artist of the Decade, is one of those things that's like, wow, duh. Like, Drake basically just killed the decade. Like, he is the dude, you know? Like when Jay-Z says, all them rings and things you sing about, bring them out. Drake can bring those things out. I don't have Drake like in the playlist. I think, you know what? Maybe like one or two, but I don't really have Drake in the playlist. It's one of those things like, you know, I just like never be like, yo, that Drake album is dope. Those words have never come out of my mouth. Look, man, Drake be out here trying to get people pregnant, dog. I ain't trying to get nobody pregnant, dude. Can't be listening to Drake. Dude be having you emotional. Drake be having you ready to shack up at strip club, man. You can't have that in your life. I gotta cancel Drake. Like Nino from New Jack, man. So, never been a Drake guy. I think he's on like my Showtime playlist. Like I have several playlists. I don't think he's not. He might be on a running playlist, actually. Look Alive. I think Look Alive is like on a playlist I got. Showtime playlist. He might be on that. That's like the stuff I play when I get the show. Showtime. Hitting on the Green Room playlist. I got several playlists for the day. I got a pre-show playlist. I got a Showtime playlist. And I got a Green Room playlist. Hitting on the Green Room playlist is the one you listen to. Wait for it. In the Green Room. Hitting on the Green Room playlist, dog. That's like anything. It could be spoken word on there. The jazz. You know what I mean? You can't play jazz when it's Showtime. You know what I mean? I like Herbie Hancock as much as everybody else. But hey, Courtney Shane Williams. Boop, boop. Boop, 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 boop. And it exactly set the vibe. You know what I mean? That's a real grunge 1990 heroin vibe. It's not the thing I'm going for when I'm walking on stage. But in the Green Room, it might be some 1990s heroin going on, man. So we got to leave our options open, man. But Drake, man, Artist of the Decade. Leave Kwame Brown alone. I want to let you guys know that, too. I haven't forgot it. You gotta leave Kwame Brown alone. I think I talked. Oh, the NBA playoffs, and then we're gonna bunk up out of here. So, the LA Lakers are in trouble. I think I put that in the podcast or the streaming description. And I wanted to put the LA Lakers aren't gonna make it to the finals, but I'm like, how lame is that? Oh, they're not gonna make out a second round. Eh, whatever. The LA Lakers are in trouble. The LA Lakers are not a championship team. You know, and I'm not even sure how much of a championship team they were last year, even though they won the championship. But it's one of those things, like a championship got given out. Somebody had to win a championship. And yo, it's time to go win this title, dude. And good thing they did. Good thing the season did restart. Because here we are, it'd be year, what, three of LeBron in L.A., and they're not going to win the title? It's 0-3? That's not a good look, man. But they got serious problems. They're seriously thin, and they just don't have enough good players. And that's it. LeBron and AD are fine. Oh, AD didn't have a good game. That's, you know what's when it's hard to have a good game? When there's only two dudes that can play on your team, and it's the NBA. You know what I mean? This ain't AAU. This ain't high school. These dudes know how to play. Chris Paul out there with one arm dribbling around dudes, making plays, because he knows how to play. Like, you're not sneaking up on dudes like that when they know you got two dudes. So what happens as far as game two is tonight with the Lakers and Phoenix? What happens with them tonight, I don't know. But what I will say is the Lakers are in trouble. They're in serious trouble. They don't have enough dudes. And LeBron's not healthy, and you can tell he's not healthy. He getting his shot blocked by Andrew Wiggins, dog. See what I mean? Please. Everybody was like, oh, Andrew Wiggins, he played great defense. And then they played the Phoenix. And it's like, hey, they're playing great defense on LeBron, too. Is LeBron injured? Yes, he's injured. Okay? He gets no lift. Dude getting blocked below the rim. Like, it's just not good, you know? And to quote the great Charles Barkley, old people don't get healthy. They die. Okay? So this... maybe he won't be 100%, but if he comes back, this is not the year, though. Not the year. AD wasn't 100%. Maybe he is 100% now. 85, 95, I don't know. But if you got basically a 80% LeBron James and an 85 to 90% Anthony Davis, and now you line up, you know, the other dudes on that team from Ayton to Chris Paul, Devin Booker, Bridges, and just not going to work out. And this is round one, by the way. What's waiting on you is the Brooklyn Nets. Like, it's just not what it's all about. It's not what it's all about, man. So, you know, the Lakers, I liked, I'm rooting for Milwaukee, weirdly enough, because I just want to see them play Brooklyn. I don't think they won't beat Brooklyn. I think Brooklyn's going to win the title, you know, and I got no skin in the game. So I can sit here and be like, I don't know what's wrong with you people not betting on Brooklyn. So I think Brooklyn is going to win a title, but I just would like to see it. Can I see it? Just a peek. Just want to see it, all right? Let's wrap up the show. Thank you, you and you, for tuning into the Last Show Podcast. An emergency episode, not a full-blown episode, just a little. You know what I mean? We're about 50%, all right? Just wanted to let you know the Tampa Bay Rays are moving. I don't know why I'm saying that with a smile on my face, but it's just not funny. It's not funny. I'm still standing. I'm still strong. Subscribe to the show. Follow, rate, review the show. Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google, TuneIn Radio. Check out my website, CourtneyShaneWilliams.com. I'm going to be in Seattle, Washington, the 27th and 28th, recording my new comedy album. I'll also be in Oklahoma City in July. I might actually be over in St. Pete, you know what I mean? We can christen the van that's moving. And I'll be there maybe in the end of June, July. September, I'm going to be out in Sacramento. Go to my website. All the dates are there at CourtneyShaneWilliams.com. Check them out. At Courtney Shane on Instagram and Twitter, YouTube, the whole shebang a bang. You guys are dope. Have a good week. Take it easy. Peace.
I knew a few places you was at. I could have pulled up, but I don't think that was gangster. I wanted to come look in your face like a man and tell you how I feel. I just come to let y'all know, stop, put some respect on my name. You understand me? When y'all saying my name, put some respect on it.
Did you pull up on Ross that way or Trick Daddy?
Aha! Aha! What do you know from funny, you bastard?
Until next time, take care of yourselves and each other.
I can handle things. I'm smart. Not like everybody says. Like, dumb. I'm smart and I want respect.
Toodaloo.